All of us who are married have had times in our marriage where we have had to question, what are we doing? And one of the things that we must begin to see as we think about this is that God is using those times in our marriage to help us think about something bigger than the marriage. And that is, how can this time bring Him glory? That doesn't mean that we won't go through those times. It just means that as those times happen, we have to stop, reevaluate, and think about what's going on. What I've discovered over the years in my marriage and with others in their marriages is that sometimes we can take problems in marriage and make them the central goal of our marriage, of resolving them, versus taking problems in our marriage and use them as an opportunity to see what is the source of that. How does that lead us back to understanding who God is, how we need to be transformed, and what needs to happen to make things better? In many cases, what we believe is the source is truly the symptom, and the source comes back to our heart and where we are with God. But I want to share with you today, as we walk this particular thing together, just a few ideas, if you will, that I want you to think about with me. Here's the first one. We don't have marriage problems. We have character deficiencies that show up in the marriage. Now, I want you to think about that, because many times when people come to me, "Oh, Pastor, we have some marital problems." And what I begin to show them is that the marital problems are the fruit. And it's not really that you have marital problems. You have these character deficiencies, and these character deficiencies have begun to create problems in the marriage. And because you're focused on the problem and not the character deficiencies, you believe you have marital problems. Again, that's the symptom, or the source, are the character deficiencies. Here's the second thing I want you to think about. Where there are character deficiencies that show up in the marriage, there is a deficiency in glorifying God and being beneficial to the other person in the marriage. So think about this. Someone says, "We have marital problems." And I say, "No, we have character deficiencies that show up in the marriage." What does that mean? Where those character deficiencies are not being addressed and not being dealt with, one is lacking in bringing glory to God, because somewhere in there, there is some sin that needs to be addressed. Hence, the character deficiencies, going back to the reality that God is not being glorified and you're not seeking to serve the other person. You're seeking to see where they're lacking in serving you and to condemn them or to fix them, if you will. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Where there's a deficiency in glorifying God and being beneficial to the other person in the marriage, there is disappointment in marriage. That's the thing that I want you to think about. Are you disappointed in your marriage? Have you been disappointed in your marriage? Did you ever trace it back to this principle that where there's a deficiency in glorifying God and being a benefit to the other person in marriage, that's why there's disappointment? Think about it. If you and your spouse are both not thinking about how to glorify and please God, you and your spouse are both thinking about what the other person needs to do for them, and they are not getting what they want, isn't that the setup for disappointment in marriage? Here's the next thing I want you to see. The patterns that we see here, and this is interesting, where you find disappointment that keeps showing up in marriage, you will find patterns that keep showing up in marriage. So again, your disappointment is tied to some patterns. And let's talk about these patterns for a moment. Here's the next thing. The patterns are the character deficiencies that have gone ignored or undetected by each person in the marriage as each person exploits and condemns the character deficiencies of their spouses in their marriage. Now, this is powerful, because the disappointment you're experiencing in your marriage ties back to the character deficiencies that you are ignoring in yourself, but you are exploiting or trying to condemn or trying to get the other person to change. And think about it. The more we live this way, the more disappointed we will be in our marriage. Here's the next thing. I want you to think about this. Marriage is supposed to be a place where people who have died to themselves have come to live for Christ within the marriage. Unfortunately, it has become the place where people who live for themselves have come to disappointment in the marriage, leading to destruction of each other and the marriage. Now, think about that for a moment. Marriage is supposed to be the place where we come to live for Jesus, but it's become the place where we live for ourselves, and we find ourselves dying, disappointed, devastated. Why? Because the marriage is not all of what it was cracked up to be, according to whom? See, when you start to trace disappointment in your marriage, I want you to understand that there's something behind it. Let's explore this a little bit more. There is so much disappointment in marriage, and many have not come to understand why. I want you to consider something, that there is a blessing in disappointed expectations. You say, what? How can I find a blessing in being disappointed in my expectations in my marriage? Where have you come from, and where are you going with this? Well, I want you to bear with me, because I believe, and as we look at the scripture, hopefully to help you to begin to see and believe, that where your expectations are being disappointed in your marriage, God is exposing character deficiencies. God is exposing things that had you not come to this place of disappointed expectations, you would have missed in your character development. And as God is using it to expose you, it's not to hurt you, but to bless you. With that in mind, I want us to begin to think about this as we explore some particular things. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, because this verse is going to be our verse to help us understand practically or from the text what disappointment is, but we're going to use that to apply that understanding of disappointed expectations to what happens when that is connected to our marriages and the blessing of disappointed expectations that we can begin to glean from this. So with that in mind, in your Bibles, as you look at Proverbs 13, verse 12, hopefully you see it in your notes. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Wow. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, I want to read you two commentaries that I thought were very helpful in helping to understand this passage. And you see the notes. I put them there for you. But watch this. I think this will be very beneficial for you. Listen to these commentators. It is good for a person to have hope, but if it is not fulfilled for a long time, deferred means put off, a long drawn out, then he experiences disappointment. His heart becomes sick. But when a hope is fulfilled, a person is refreshed. The gratification of hope gives encouragement like a tree gives life. So in this commentator, he's explaining that sometimes you got two realities with hope. Sometimes it's delayed, sometimes it's denied, and in both cases, a person's heart is sick. But man, when a person experiences what they were expecting, it is satisfying to the soul. But the next commentator helps us to move closer to understanding where we find disappointment because some things may not only necessarily be denied from us, but not a reality that can come to us in a marriage, and our hearts are sick. God is trying to show us something. And if we listen, and if we change our perspective and our practice, we will find the blessing behind the disappointed expectations. But before I get into all of that, let's listen to this commentator for a moment. Here's what he says. It is therefore our wisdom not to promise ourselves any great matters from the creature, not to feed ourselves with any vain hopes from this world, lest we lay up a matter for our own vexation. Can I tell you what he just said? It is wise to not put